Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by Senior Pastor, Reverend Dr. Ray Hilton. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the 119th Psalm, verses 9 through 16, in the Old Testament section of our Red Bibles on page 577. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Again, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the word of the Lord.
It's truly an honor to stand before you this morning and to share from this particular section of the Bible. I want to use this passage to begin what I anticipate will be a very short dive into a set of disciplines that will encourage us as we seek to be followers of Jesus. So I'm calling this series over the month of November, the disciplines, the soul sculpting, how the disciplines will shape us as disciples. And today I want to look at the discipline of study. I'm actually going to look at four disciplines. Three of them are what I call internal, and one is external. And the internal disciplines, would be the one that we're looking at this morning, study. And then the following week, we're going to look at the discipline of rest, and then the discipline of gratitude. And then the external study that I want us to think about would be the discipline of worship. The great theologian Winnie the Pooh. You didn't know that, did you? Sometimes, the smallest things take up the most room in your heart. Sometimes the smallest things take up the most room in your heart. And what I want you to think about is how these small acts of faithfulness, these small acts, as we engage in these spiritual disciplines, that over time, they do change us. So when we think about the discipline of study, what are we really talking about? We're talking about the church being engaged in studying the most important book that the church has, and that is the Bible. The psalmist, and what a beautiful section of scripture that is. The psalmist asks the question, how can young people keep their way pure? And of course, that question is not limited only to young people. It's to anyone. How can older people, how can children, how can young adults, how can men, how can women keep their way pure? And the answer is still the same, by guarding it according to your word. And then in verse 11, the psalmist again says these precious words, I treasure your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And the question I've been asking myself, and I'm not the only one asking the question, is what is it about God's word that changes those who believe? And I think it's because the written word tells us about the living God. And when we get to know this living God, something begins to happen to us. In fact, I even hesitate to say it because it is so basic. But we cannot know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit apart from God's Word. We can have opinions about God. We can have feelings about God. But we really cannot know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit apart from God's Word. And so the challenge for you and me, and I include myself in the challenge, is to take up, as that voice said to Augustine, take up and read, so that the words of Scripture from the pages of Scripture might somehow embed themselves into the living of our lives. And I think the way that we can, if you want to use the word download or upload the Scriptures into our lives, is through this discipline that we call study. Not just cursory reading, but intentional study. So the question is there a prerequisite for study? And I can think of only one. I can think of only one prerequisite for study, and it's hunger. Hunger. Jesus said that one does not live by bread alone. Think about that. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the analogy that we see in the Bible is how God's word is manna for the soul. It nourishes our soul. Just as some of you had breakfast this morning, or some of you are thinking about lunch already because you're hungry. As food nourishes the body, the Scriptures will nourish the soul. For example, I love the words of Jeremiah. When Jeremiah said, when your words came to me, Jeremiah 15 and verse 5, when your words came to me, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Let me read that again. When your words came to me, Jeremiah said, I ate them and they were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. And so what drives us to eat is hunger. If you're not hungry, you're not eating. But the reality is, sometimes we're really not hungry. I come home sometimes and my wife says, well, dinner's ready, and I say, I'm not hungry. And she said, did you eat? Sometimes we're not hungry because we had a bag of Skittles, we had some Mountain Dew, we had some Dorito, and there's a sense in which that's food. But it's not the best food. It's not nourishing food. In fact, if you live on a diet of Mountain Dew and Skittles and Dorito, it's going to damage your teeth, and eventually it's going to give you significant health problems. It's true. We are what we eat. And so the spiritual discipline of study works when we have hunger for God's Word. And so when I read the verses, in verses 9 through 16, what you are hearing are the cravings of a hungry soul. The cravings of a hungry soul. Notice some of the phrases, if you have your Bibles open. With my whole heart. With my whole heart, I seek you. Verse 11. Another cravenous statement. I treasure your word in my heart. Teach me your statutes. Verse 13. The words of a hungry soul. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. Verse 14, I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes, he says in verse 16, and I will not forget your word. I'm telling you, friends, these are the words of a hungry soul. So the discipline of study is not just to read with our eyes. The discipline of study is to experience. It's to take it in. It's almost like eating it. And I call that deep reading. And let me tell you very quickly why this practice of study is so critical for the church in 21st century America. Richard Foster, who many of you know, has written some wonderful books, The Celebration of Discipline, The Challenge of the Disciplined Life, and on is written on these subjects. Richard Foster said in The Celebration of Discipline that the desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but he says the great need for today is for deep people. And I don't think he's poo-pooing intelligence, and I don't think he's poo-pooing giftedness, but I think what Richard Foster is saying, that just being intelligent and just being gifted are not enough. We need deep people. And I read further, and I said, well, what does he mean by deep people who follow Jesus? Well, the first thing he says, it's not easy. Because you and I live in the midst of unlimited options, noisy distractions. We're surrounded with a millions of versions of truth that just overrun our soul. So how is it possible to be a deep person while we're caught up, many of us, in 50, 60, 70-hour work week, community and school events, shopping and networking and parties to attend and spending time on the internet and being obsessed with our electronic devices, and then we still have to parent, and then we still have to come back to the church and volunteer? How do we stay up in this flurry of activities? And some say, well, it's only for the monks because they don't have anything to do. They just stay in the monastery. Well, I don't believe that. We've got to figure out, what does he mean by a deep person? And here's Richard Foster's working definition of a deep person. He says deep people are those whose lives are organized around Jesus, his character. Their lives are organized around his call to a serving life. It's organized around his death on the cross for their sins. And yes, he says, the abilities of gifted, deep people, it might be diverse. But he says, what's the identifying markers of deep people is that they exude this power to influence people for Jesus. They want to grow in Christ's likeness. They want to live a life of faithful service. Deep people love the world. They're troubled. You heard John talking about 1.7 million children in this country have a parent incarcerated. And for many of you, I know that just troubles you to no end. And that's what happens to deep people. They cannot live in this world and not be troubled. They mix with people. Deep people are known for their wisdom, their compassion for others, and their perseverance in hard times. Now consider this statement. Richard Foster again says that the church's greatest treasure is its deep people. And I know that our churches today, some churches focus on a seeker-sensitive type of a church. Some people focus on being a millennial church. Some people focus on some branding of a kind of church. And I'm telling you, all of those particular slants are important. but not without a core of deep people. The church doesn't have deep people. The church is in trouble. And I'm here to tell you this morning that people who are people of depth, that it doesn't just happen. We don't drift into spiritual growth. We don't meander our way into spiritual vibrancy. We don't happen upon having a deep love for God. The psalmist says it over and over again. It's all about intentionality. I will meditate on your word. I will hide your word. Let's just take the thought one step further. Deep people are a treasure to the church, and they're more important than the preachers in the church. They're more important than the hottest program that the church might have. They're more important than the choir or the praise band. We need people in the church who are given to the discipline of study, because when you go deeper, our church is going to go deeper. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I cultivate that kind of depth? And all I can tell you is God uses a variety of tools to take us to a deeper place. I can honestly tell you that some of the times where I've grown the most in my life were the times when I suffered. Some of the times where we grow the most in our lives are the times when we see the brokenness of our sin and we come before the Lord and we ask Him to forgive us. But one of the means that God uses too is the discipline of study. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I cultivate that? Well, let me close with a few ideas for how we can continue to cultivate depth. One would be to start with the mind. Believe it or not, start with the mind. And there's so many places in the Bible where the mind of the person needs to be cultivated. Paul, for example, says, let your mind be renewed, be transformed through the renewing of the mind. Jesus says, love God with heart, soul, mind. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. The mind. Jesus said that you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, what is your mind focused on? What's your mind focused on? The second way that we can cultivate growth is to resolve to know Christ. Resolve. And I use that word very deliberately. Resolve to know Christ. Now, this example I'm going to share with you pales in comparison to the seriousness of what I'm telling you. But I still remember when I first met Judith. We were 14-year-old kids. My good friend invited me to his Anglican church in Jamaica. And it was on a Friday night that I looked across the crowded room. It wasn't a smoky room, but there she was. The truth is, though, I was very shy. I looked at her and I really liked her and I wanted to get to know her, but I was just such a wimp. I didn't know how to talk to girls, and I was just scared. So a couple days later, I get the invitation to go with her on a walkathon with her whole youth group. They were raising money. And because I wanted to get to know this pretty Jamaican girl, didn't have to ask me twice. I was in. You know, on a much greater scale, and I really mean that, on a much greater scale, I think that's the desire of the psalmist. The psalmist really wants to know God. He says, with my whole heart, I seek you. If you want to go deeper through the discipline of study, friends, resolve to know Christ. When I read Moses in the Pentateuch, he had the same desire. He said, Lord, show me your glory. When I read Paul in the New Testament, he said, I want to know him. I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him even in death. I want to know this man, Paul says. And friends, this is the cry of people who want to know God. They're just tired of hearing about God. They're tired of talking about God. They're tired of hearing other people talk about God. And one day that believer, that man, that woman just suddenly says, you know, I'm hungry. I want to know him. And they begin just to say, God, I need you. Lord, I want to know your ways. I'm tired of the emptiness. I'm tired of the religiosity. Lord, I want my life to reflect you. And I think this is what the psalmist means in Psalm 42, when the psalmist talks about deep calling out to deep. And when a church is populated with people who are done with the superficiality of religion, when a church is filled with hungry people, God chasers, that church, it's just different. The scriptures come alive. And you know, when that begins to happen, we give the credit not to the great music programs or the great preacher or the great this or the great that. We just say, this is the hand of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, friends, when I walk around and I meet Christians who are bored with church, I just don't get it. I meet Christians who are giving up on their church, and I just don't get it. And maybe I'm being defensive. I don't think the problem is with the church. People are just walking away from a church. I often say it's because they're not hungry. They're not hungry for God. Jeremiah, there's a verse that I memorized several years ago that means a lot to me. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. And when I read those words, Jeremiah didn't say, call upon the church and the church will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. When I read the words of Jeremiah, he said, the Lord told me to tell you, call upon the Lord, and he will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. We're not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. And if you're tired of First Pres, I'm really sorry to hear that. God's not tired of you. Yeah, we're going to disappoint people. That's just the way we are. We're the church. But if you would just take your eyes off the religious aspects, the outer aspects of what we call church, and just do what Jeremiah said, call upon the Lord, the Lord's going to answer you. And he's going to show you himself. And he's going to fill you up. And he's going to take you to a deeper place. But you got to be hungry. So where do I start, Pastor Ray? Where do I start? And here's what I would encourage you to do. Just start reading small portions of Scripture. Don't worry about reading through the whole Bible. If you could read a verse of that Bible and you could take that with you and think about it and begin to ask the question, how do I live out this verse of Scripture? Man, you are on your way to a deeper life with God. Read that Scripture. Apply it. Integrate it. Practice it. and your life is going to be transformed. But I also would encourage you not to read the Bible alone, but to read the Bible with others. Whether it's reading the Bible one-to-one, I get together once a week, every other week with a friend here at the church, and we just read through sections of the book of Hebrews one-to-one. Read the Bible in small groups. And even what you did this morning is really important to developing the discipline of study. It's picking up the Bible as the scriptures were read by Ellie. And just read them and think about them and take them home with you. Because what drives all of this is hunger, craving. God, I want to know you. And then finally, I would encourage you to pray. I actually wrote a little prayer here that I want to share with you and would encourage you to make it your own. And I've prayed a version of this prayer so many times in my life. So many times in my life. God, I want to know you in a deeper way. Grant me the desire to desire you. And study your ways. Pray that prayer. God, I want to know you in a deeper way. Grant me the desire to desire you and to study your ways. And may God grant us the hunger and the craving to know his ways. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's people say, Amen.